leave about 10 o'clock. Does that sound pretty good? Proverbs 21:1. If you don't know it, it's a great verse. And it's very significant. The king's heart is in the hand of the Lord. Amen. And as rivers of water, he turneth it whithersoever he will. And God's in control. Amen. I mean, when we look around and we see the world, it's just chaos and confusion and craziness and convulsions. It's just a madhouse. And the Bible says, professing himself to be wise, they become fools. You read Romans chapter 1. And all that, we can get anemic and we can get neurotic and we can get just crazy watching this stuff and get our eyes off the Lord a lot of times. But I'm going to tell you, folks, God is in control. Amen? Whatever, what's going on in the world out there, and it looks like it is, I'm going to tell you the providence of the Lord I gave you this morning. I showed you where even over there in Daniel, when Nebuchadnezzar came in there and besieged Israel and wiped it out, and it wasn't a nation for 2,000 years, and God kept saying over to Jeremiah, he said, Nebuchadnezzar, my servant. We saw that. God had Nebuchadnezzar's heart right in his hand, and he just did whatever he wanted to do. I showed you over there Cyrus, the king of Persia that came up afterwards. Before he was ever born, God said, I know him and gave his name. And he said, he's not even born, don't even know me. But I stirred up his heart and he's going to tell him to go back and rebuild the temple over there. God is in control. There's the providence of the Lord. I see it there. The king's heart is in the hand of the Lord. And you know what we need to do, and I told you this morning, we need to let God be God, amen. We don't need to step in His business, amen. We got a job to do down here to get souls out of hell and tell people about Jesus Christ and be an ambassador for Christ. We don't need to get out there and try to run God's business, amen. He does a pretty good job, don't he, Miss Annie Mae? He did a pretty good job for 6,000 years, Brother Zito, that we stepped in, didn't he? I like an illustration I heard one time, and I've used this many times, and it's a great illustration. This preacher, he is on an airplane, you know, and he is sitting there, and the lady was sitting by him. He tried to witness to her a little bit. You know, he told her he's a preacher and all that. And they had a big storm came through, Miss Kathy, and it was blowing that plane around, you know, and everything. And they were flipping out over there. And that old lady said to him, next to him, she said, hey, don't you have some inside hand on this thing? Can't you do something with this? Can't you turn this and straighten all this out? He said, well, ma'am, it's like this. I'm not management. I'm just in sales. Amen. God didn't call me to run the show, Brother Ben. You know what he called me to do? To try to get people out of hell. That's what he said. And there's the providence of the Lord. God's in control. And I want to give you the second point, just stick with me tonight. I got 20 pages of notes, amen. And that's the abridged version, Miss Samantha. I want to give you the second thing about it. I want to say, not only do I see the providence of the Lord, in that verse it said the king's heart is in the hand of the Lord. You know what I see? I see the politics of the Lord. You know our crazy world that we live in. They think there's a separation between God and politics. You ever heard that? I mean, you can't talk about religion and politics, Brother Zito. I mean, they got in our country, they got this myth, it's called a separation of church and state. And they got this idea that if you're in the church, you can't say anything about politics. And they built out this myth. It's not in the Constitution. It's nothing like that in the Constitution. It was a letter that Thomas Jefferson wrote to the Baptists that had that in there. And they've taken that thing and run wild. And every time somebody does something and it references something religious and it has a church property, these nuts run around. Separation of church and state. Separation of church and state. Let me tell you something. You might be able to separate the church and the state, but bless God, you won't separate the Lord when it gets down to it. Amen. God said the heart of the king is in his hand. He said, I'll turn it wherever I want to, too. There's the Lord and politics. The politics of the Lord. You know, the Democrats a few years ago, they removed the word God from the Democratic platform. You know that? 2012, the chairman tried to put it back in there here recently. I saw it on the internet. I probably gave it to us here. He tried to put God back in there, and when he mentioned the word putting God back in the Democratic convention, they started booing and screaming when they mentioned God. I gave you this morning a Republican town hall, Louisiana, the Bible Belt. Bill Cassidy over there at a town hall had a preacher to come in and just preach. And he's got his Republican place now. He's trying to preach. This preacher came in. They just wanted to pray. And they wouldn't even let him pray. I got it right up here. They started screaming, separation of church and state. Separation of church and state. And they said, here's what it said. And it said, but they came absolutely unhinged when he concluded the prayer in the name of Jesus Christ. Wow. They booed the name of Jesus, Cassie. These are Republicans! Ungodly, wicked Republicans. That's the problem in this country right there, brethren. There's the politics of the Lord, brethren. I want to tell you, they've tried to get God out of politics. They've done everything to try to get Him out. But bless God, brother, I'm going to tell you, the heart of the King is in the hand of the Lord. He'll do what He wants to do with it. He'll turn it whithersoever He will. Oh, Judge Roy Moore, I like him. I like that old boy. He's a world champion kickboxer, Brother Zito. Like me, man. He is. He really is. He's a bad dude. He put those Ten Commandments down there at the Capitol. Glory to God. He said he was going to do it, and he put it in there. You know what they did? You say, oh, yeah. They come in and congratulate and said, man, that's great. No, they impeached the guy and kicked him out of the office because he put the Ten Commandments there on the courthouse. See what they're trying to say? I'm trying to tell you they've tried to get God out of politics and they've tried to get God out of their lives. But I'm going to tell you, the Bible says the heart of the King, politics, is in the hand of the Lord. They can't get rid of God. There's no way in the world. There's a myth of the separation of church and state. The First Amendment says this of the Bill of Rights. Congress shall not make no law respecting an establishment of religion or prohibiting the free exercise thereof or abridging the freedom of speech or of the press or the right of the people to peaceably assemble or to petition the government for a redress of grievances. That's why we want to go out and street preach right there. We want to exercise our rights right there. And that verse says, Congress cannot do anything to stop you from worshiping God. And yet they have taken over and ripped that thing out, brethren. That was put in there to give you the freedom to worship God. There's the politics of the Lord. They got this idea now all over this country that God can't enter the politics. Get God out of it. Good luck. Take your Bible, turn over to Isaiah chapter 9. Isaiah chapter 9, I believe it is. Look at Isaiah 9. Isaiah chapter 9. Man, I love the book of Isaiah. It's the book you want to read, man. Boy, this is where God speaks in the first person all over there. Isaiah is like opening up to God's world and just stepping in a little while. And let him look through what he's seeing. Look at Isaiah chapter 9. Isaiah 9. They say, God's not in politics. Got to get God and religion out of separation of church and state. Got to get him out of there. Good luck. Watch this. Isaiah 9:6. For unto us a child is born. Talking about the Lord Jesus Christ. Isaiah 9:6. For unto us a child is born. And to us a son is given. And it says, and the church shall be upon his shoulder. Mine don't say that. I picked up a wrong version. I must have picked up one of those new versions somewhere. Let me see what this thing is. My goodness. Says it's King James. Must be a misprint. You know what's in my government. I thought he couldn't get in the government. Hey, look what it says. And the government shall be upon his shoulder. Boy, oh boy, oh boy, won't that Bible just destroy everything going on, don't it? And the government shall be upon his shoulder, and his name shall be Wonderful, Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. Look at it. And the increase of his government and peace, there shall be no end, brother. And I want to tell you, brother, there's the politics of the Lord. God's right in the mix of it. They can say what they want to. They can curse him. They can do all that kind of stuff. But I'm going to tell you, the heart of the King is in the hand of the Lord. And he'll turn it whithersoever he will. He'll do what he wants to. There's the providence of the Lord. There's the politics of God. Turn over to Isaiah chapter 2. While you're in Isaiah, Don't you love the book of Isaiah? Isn't it awesome? Amazing, man. What a book. What a book. Isaiah chapter 2, verse 4. Look at it. You might know it by heart. Isaiah 2, 4. Now, you know what's on the United Nations building? United Nations building was put up in 1945, supposedly to bring peace and harmony throughout the world. And since the United Nations got started, we've had more wars than any other time in history. Like it old saying says, in case of rain, the war will be held in the auditorium. Amen. There's going to be war and war, rumors of wars. Isaiah chapter 2, verse 4. Here's what's on the United Nations building. It says this, and they shall beat their swords into plowshares and their spears into pruning hooks. Nation shall not lift up sword against nation, neither shall they learn war anymore. You know what they did? They left out the first part of the verse. You know what the first part of the verse is? It's the second advent of Jesus Christ. They tried to kick him out of government, Miss Karen. Hey, how you guys, how's that show working without him, by the way? Here's what it says, and he shall judge among the nations and shall rebuke many people. It's the second advent. And then they'll beat their swords in the plowshares and their spears in the pruning hooks and they'll learn war no more. Right now, you say, what's going to happen? War and more wars and wars. There's the politics of the Lord. Turn over to Romans chapter 13. Romans chapter 13. You can't separate the Lord. These screwballs running around here thinking, you know, separate the church and stay. Separate the church. You come here long enough. I don't care what they say. People say, you're not supposed to talk about politics in church. Come here Sunday morning and see what you get. I'm going to try to squash everything you got before I get through. I told Brother Earl, Rob Hack, I said, I'm on Trump like a duck on a gene bug, man. I said, I'm trying to squash every hope they got and eradicate everything they got except that word of God. And I said, if I can do that, they'll thank me for it down the road. I'm trying to get your hope on nothing less than Jesus' blood. Everything else is sinking sand, brother. Look at Romans chapter 13. Romans chapter 13. God's in control, brother. Look, here's talking about the rulers. This is talking about the politicians, Romans 13, 1. Let every soul be subject unto the higher powers, for there is no power but of God. The powers that be are ordained of God. Right there. You know what the word ordained means? It means separated and set apart for the ministry is what it means. The President of the United States, I gave you this morning, if God wasn't in it, he wouldn't be there. God's got a purpose for that man. God's got a purpose for these leaders, and they're ministers that God ordained to put in there. And God can reach over there and take the heart of Donald Trump and flip it anytime he wants to. The heart of the king is in the hand of the Lord. And as rivers of water, he turn it whithersoever he wilt. Look at the next, verse 2. Whosoever therefore resisteth the power, resisteth the ordinance of God, and they that resist shall receive themselves damnation. Not talking about salvation, damnation. Talking about thrown in jail. For rulers are not a terror to good works, but to the evil. Should be, isn't that right? What will thou then not be afraid of the power? Verse 4. For he is a minister of God for thee for good. But if thou do that which is evil, be afraid, for he beareth not the sword in vain. For he is a minister of God, a revenger of them that execute wrath upon him that doeth evil. Verse 5, wherefore you must needs be subject, not only for wrath, but also for conscience sake. For this cause pay ye tribute also. You know what that means? Pay your taxes. What it means? Ask Ken Hovind about that. He just spent 10 years in prison because he didn't do it. For they are God's ministers, attending continue. You say, what are you trying to tell you? I'm trying to say there's a Lord of the politics. God is in control of what's going on around here. What we need to do, like I told you this morning, quit worrying about God's business and just get you a bag of popcorn and get your Bible out and enjoy the show. Quit worrying about all the junk going on. We get anemic about it, neurotic. Who cares, man? Let God be God, amen? Let God run the show. Don't get out there. You'll make a bigger mess you ever seen. Look over 1 Timothy chapter 2. 1 Timothy chapter 2. Here's Paul talking. There's the politics of the Lord. There's the providence of the Lord. God's got this thing figured out. I got news for you. He's a whole lot smarter than me and you. He knows what's going on. The heart of the king is in the hand of the Lord. I do wish he'd turn it every once in a while, don't y'all? But I'm letting him run the show. 1 Timothy chapter 2. This is pretty amazing to me. You know, Paul wrote that in Romans 13. He said, let us be subject to the powers that are ordained of God and all that. You know, that guy spent most of his life in jail. What a thing. You know what happened to him? You know, they killed him. They cut his head off in Rome for preaching the gospel of Jesus Christ. I mean, he's thrown in jail all over the place. He's over in Acts chapter 16. They take him and Silas and beat him with 40 stripes and put him in an inner cell for death row, ready to kill him. And he's saying, hey guys, you got to obey him. That guy's got a lot of faith, don't he? Look what he writes over there in Timothy. Look what he writes over there in 1 Timothy chapter 2. I exhort therefore that first of all, supplication, prayers, intercessions, and giving of thanks be made for all men, for kings and for all that are in authority, that we may lead a quiet and peaceful life in all goodness and honesty, for this is good and acceptable in the light of the Lord our God, our Savior. It didn't work too good for him, did it? Most of his life was in jail. Like Brother Roloff used to say, he'd say most of these preachers, when they come in town, these evangelists, you know, they want you to take them to the hotel and show them all everything you got laid out. He said when Paul come down, he'd say, you better let me check the jail out because that's where I'll be spending most of my time. There's the politics of the Lord. I could give you a lot more. I'm going to give you a couple things about that. Our country, you know what God does? He picks out his man. I want you to turn to 1 Samuel chapter 15 and get Acts 13 real quick. Boy, I could give you a bunch. I got a lot here, but I'm just going to hit a few things. Go to 1 Samuel 15. 1 Samuel 15 and Acts 13. Let's get Acts 13, 1 Samuel 15. God reaches down there one time. He says about Pharaoh over there in Romans, and I'll give you that about that in a minute maybe. We got time about Pharaoh. He said, Pharaoh, for this purpose have I raised thee up to show my power and name in thee, brethren. God to put those men in. You remember over there in 1 Samuel? Remember Israel, they're over there and they want a king. Y'all remember that? Read your Bible, 1 Samuel 15. And they wanted a king and they said, give us a king like all the other nations. And the Lord told old Samuel, he said, you go tell them if they get a king, that king's going to take your children and take them and he's going to tax you and he's going to make your life miserable and he's going to be rough. Y'all don't want a king like the world. They said, we want to be like the world. That's what they were saying. God said, no, you don't. You know what God did? He allowed it. You know what happened? Saul was a terror, man. He is a terror. And God allowed it to happen just like he allows things in this country. Look at 1 Samuel 15. Then came verse 10. Then came the word of the Lord unto Samuel saying, it repenteth me that I set Saul to be king. God sets him up. We saw it this morning, those verses, God removes them. For he has turned back from following me and hath not performed my commandments. And it grieved Samuel, he cried on the Lord all night. Come down to verse 28. Samuel said unto him, the Lord hath rent the kingdom of Israel from thee this day, and hath given it to a neighbor of thine that is better than I. You know what God did? He reached over there and took Samuel, Saul off the kingdom, and put David up there. There's the politics of God. God's in control, brethren. Look over at Acts 13 and says this. Acts 13, verse 21. And afterward they desired a king, and God gave unto them Saul, the son of Cis, a man of the tribe of Benjamin, by the space of 40 years. And when he had removed him, God took him out. He raised up unto them David to be their king, and whom he gave this testimony and said, I found David, the son of Jesse, a man after mine own heart. God put his man in there. There's the politics of the Lord. The politics of this the Lord. This old country was founded on the Word of God. You know it? This country was founded by people. They had one desire, and I've given you that before, took you through the history. Their desire was to have a land and a place they could worship God without the state over them. George Washington, how many know who was the first president, by the way? Raise your hand. All right. George Bush. George Washington was the first president. And George Washington gave the oath. When they gave the presidential oath, you know what he did? Put his hand on the King James Bible. And he said the oath, 35 words. I'm going to give them to you in a minute. And he said the oath. You know what old George Washington did, Miss Samantha, after he got through saying that oath? Anybody here know what he did? He kissed the Bible. He didn't turn and kiss his wife. He kissed his King James Bible. Do you know for the next 33 presidents after him, when they took the oath of office, they kissed that Bible. You know who stopped doing it? A Republican. Well, I'm not a Republican. Don't ever call me a Republican. And I'm not a Democrat. I'm a Christian. Dwight Eisenhower, 1953. He's the one that stopped doing it. That's when his country started going downhill. 33 presidents in a row, when they gave the oath of office, they kissed the King James Bible. He stopped it in 53, and nobody's done it since. They believe this book. 1953, we got off of it. A Republican, not a Democrat. The oath of office says 35 words. It says this. I, Donald J. Trump, it's given by the Chief Justice. I, Donald J. Trump, do solemnly swear that I will faithfully execute the office of the President of the United States and will, to the best of my ability, preserve, protect, and defend the Constitution of the United States. That's the official oath of the President of the United States. When George Washington gave that oath, he added four words to it. That's not in the oath. Every president since then has added those four words. Barack Obama, Bill Clinton, Donald J. Trump. Every one of them, after they say that oath, they say four words. That's not in there. So help me God. Every one of them. Amen. The guy sued him, the same guy that's been suing, trying to get God out of the Pledge of Allegiance. He sued in 2008, trying to get him to stop saying it. And the judge said, I can't stop him from saying it. It's not even an oath. They're just saying it. Every one of those presidents have been saying that. You say, what are you trying to tell me? I'm trying to tell you there's the God of the politics. God's all in it, brethren. So help me God. Every one of them puts it in there. You take this old Bible we got in our hand. You know what they call this Bible? It's a King James Version. You know what a king is? He's a politician. What he is. You know what old king the Bible says over in Ecclesiastes? It said where the word of a king is, power. I got some power right here, brother. This is some real deal right here, buddy. I heard an illustration one time about a preacher. He had an old New Testament that's wearing apart, and he sent it in to get it rebound. And when he got it back, Miss Samantha, they couldn't put the word New Testament on there. He didn't have enough room, so they just put the initials on it, and they put TNT. Dynamite, brother, right here. Power this book. You know King James? 1604, he called and got the 47 of the greatest scholars that ever walked the planet. John Boyles, when he was 4 years old, Miss Liz, he was reading Hebrew. When he was 6 years old, John Boyles, he could translate Hebrew. There's not many men on the planet can do that. 6 years old. He's another Dalton, I guess. I mean, those men were brilliant. Sir Lancelot Andrews could read and write and speak 22 ancient languages. I mean, they were the greatest brain trust ever got in one room. 1604, King James started Hampton Court, brought those men in to give him a Bible. You know why he did it? You know why King James got that Bible put out? Say, yeah, he wanted a better Bible. No, that had nothing to do with it. Say, he wanted a better translation. Had nothing to do with it. You know why he did it? He had two groups of folks. He had on one side, they were called the Puritans. The Puritans, they had the Geneva Bible by John Calvin. And on the other side, Brother Zito, they had the Anglicans. And they had the Bishop's Bible. And they fought like cats and dogs, man. And they were just making the chaos of the country. And Latimer and some of King James people come to him. He said, you know what the problem is? You know why they can't get together? They got a different Bible. He said, what you need to do is get them all together and let them make one Bible, and then they'll be singing Kumbaya. Everybody will be happy. He could put that Bible together and or commission that Bible strictly for political reasons. He wanted to just try to calm everybody down. And they got together and put that Bible back. And you know what? It didn't work. Both of them hated it. Neither one of them used it when they got through. God loved it though. There's the politics of the Lord. Not only the politics of the Lord, there's something else. Oh, there's a lot here. There's a penetration of the Lord. I'm just going to hit some of these things real quick. The Bible said, it said the king's heart is in the hand of the Lord. You know what the Lord deals with? He deals with the heart. God can reach down there and find anybody, I don't care who they are, who hard they are, how smart they think they are. God can reach down there and deal with that heart. Remember over in 1 Samuel 16 when Samuel comes up there and sees Jesse's boys come before him and there weren't any there. The Lord said, oh, don't look at the height of the statue. He said, man looketh on the outward appearance, but God looketh on the heart. And the Lord can reach down to that politician, anybody on this earth, and the king's heart is in the hand of the Lord, and he can just penetrate that heart. I like what Brother Earl said here a while back when he was here last time. He was talking about pornography and fornication and dope. He said, those things, they're just baby sins. Remember that? He said, the problem is the heart. You know what God looks at? He deals with the heart. He can penetrate that heart and deal with them. And the king's heart is in the hand of the Lord. And he can just turn it with us wherever he wills. Jeremiah chapter 17. Boy, I could give you a lot here. I'm just going to give you a few things. Jeremiah 17 verse 9. We quote that a lot. The heart is deceitful above all things. Remember that? And desperately wicked. Who can know it? You ever read the second verse? The next verse? I, the Lord, search the heart. You know who knows the heart? God does. He said, I try the reins, give every man according to his ways, according to the fruit of his doing. It says over there, and God can reach down and penetrate that heart. He can deal with them. When I witness somebody, I don't care how smart they are, what they've been through, how tough they are, I could care less. I know that word of God will go right in. It don't bother me. I'm a chicken. Bok, 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 bok. I'm not like Don, some of these guys, you know, and Brother David and all them fighting all the half their life. Listen, when the fight started, I went out the back door. I hid under the table. I've done that a few times, by the way. I didn't hardly get into it. But I'm going to tell you, when it comes to the Word of God and witnessing to somebody, I'm not intimidated by nobody. And I don't say that bragging. I say that because of that book. And my wife, listen, she's one of the most timid and meek little persons you've ever been around, but I bless your soul, she'll stand toe-to-toe with anybody. You know, you've been out with soul this lady right here, Miss Zito. I was out there witnessing that one time, and them two Jehovah Witnesses showed up, and my wife and Miss Karen were over there. I think I was with Brother Jeff, might have been Brother Anthony. One of them was out there, and those two Jehovah Witnesses were on the porch, and I seen Miss Karen, she saw them. And boy, she ran over there like a missile. I told Brother Jeff, whoever I was with, I said, watch this, it's going to be good. I said, these ladies are going to jump on them like a duck on a June bug, brother. And I saw Miss Karen with that finger boy, she letting them go, man. Say, why is that? God reached down that Bible and penetrate that heart, man. You don't have to be intimidated by nobody when it comes to the Word of God. There's a penetration. God can reach down there. Look over there in Proverbs 21. Real quick, the book of Proverbs. Man, I love the Lord, don't you? I love serving Him. Me and Sarah Lee, they wanted to walk and lose a little weight, you know. And so now that I'm semi-retired, actually I got booted out. I'm calling it semi-retired. It sounds better than being kicked out, amen. So we go down to the park down there at Cosby Lake. And when we go, me and her, we pass around tracks, you know. It's wonderful. Some of the people you think, boy, they look rough. They're going to chew your head off. They're some of the nicest ones here. I had a guy over there the other day, and he had all the chains hanging off of him, you know, like they do them old bikers and dressed in black, rough-looking old cats, you know. And he was walking around there and had all that junk on him. I said, here you go, buddy. Let me give you a gospel. He said, praise the Lord, man. Glory to God. Guy was saved. He owned a little game shop over there in Walmart. He said, man, if you ever need something, you just come by and see me. I'll take care of you. Praise the Lord. Want to know where the church was? Said he leave that out in Leeds. I'm going to tell you, God can penetrate that heart. There's the penetration. Look over Proverbs chapter 21, verse 2. God will ponder the heart. Remember Hebrews chapter 4, verse 12, talks about the Word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even the dividing asunder soul and spirit, and a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. God deals with the heart. Proverbs 21:2, every way of a man is right in his own eyes, but the Lord pondereth the hearts. Look at Proverbs 24:12. If thou sayest, behold, we knew it not, doth not he that pondereth the heart consider it? That's Proverbs. Somebody lied and say, I didn't know it. God says, oh, you knew it. You knew it. You know what the word ponder means? It comes from the word pound. That's what it means. It means to weigh, and it means to pound on that heart sometimes. You know what God can do? He can penetrate and pound that old heart. He can get in there and squash that thing if he wants to. I like what old Carl Lackey, that old mountain preacher, used to say. He said, God, he'll dig down in your tater house. What he'll do. And God will get down there in the deepest, darkest crevice of your heart, brother, and twist it if he wants to. There's the penetration of the Lord. God can deal with any of them. I got a good friend of mine there, went to Bible school, Brother Mark Jodeman. Brother Mark was one of the smartest guys ever come through that school. That guy was a genius. Man, Brother Ruckman, in some of the classes, he had turned over and asked Mark about something, about a manuscript or something. He said, is that right, Brother Jodeman? That guy was, he learned himself German. He could speak German just by learning it himself, which is pretty amazing. He had a brother there named Mike, and Mike was the dumbest guy that ever come through PBI, and Mark was about the smartest. I mean, somebody's brains went over here and popped in this one, I guess. But Mark was a blessing. Both of them were a blessing. Both of them pastoring churches today, doing great, man, for the Lord. Their dad was a pastor. And Brother Mark, he worked with this old black preacher named Roy. And I met Roy. I went to the church. That's another message. I'll tell you about that some other time. But old Roy, he was a blessing. And they were mechanics. Mark's one of the best mechanics I ever seen, too, man. And he was telling me about this, Brother Mark was. And they had a car they were working on. Roy didn't have a boat over there that was stuck. And Brother Ben, that thing was stripped. And it was rusted, and they couldn't get it off. Ben O'Roy was trying to get that thing off, tried everything he could to get that old nut off, and couldn't get it. It was just stuck on there and rusted and stripped. And Brother Jodeman went over there and had a special wrench or something. And he went over there and got that old nut off. And he told Roy, he said, Roy, you know what? He said, that nut's like people. And he said, you know what? God's got a wrench that'll fit any nut. And old Brother Roy, he had old black fellow, he said, that good. I'm going to preach on that this Sunday, man. You know what? God's got a wrench that he can reach down there. I don't care how tough they are. I don't care how smart they are. I don't care if they're the president or the Congress or the king. God's got a wrench. He can reach down there and take that old strip boat that's stuck and rusted, and he can reach over there and turn it whithersoever he will. God's in control. There's the penetration. There's the persuasion of the Lord. It said he turned it whithersoever every will. And I'm just going to skip that for time tonight. I'll let Miss Karen preach it sometimes. I'm going to give her the notes. Got about 5 pages on that. And there's the personalization of the Lord. Look what it says. And the king's heart is in the hand of the Lord. God's got a personal stake in our lives and in this country. You know what? He didn't say, I think I'll outsource this out to Gabriel. Gabriel, will you take care of this? Hey, Gabriel, Michael, how about go out there and handle it? It said the heart of the king is sitting in the hand of God. You know what? God is involved in this country. He's not sitting on the sidelines. God knows what's going on. He knows about Trump care. He knows about... God's interested in his son. God's interested in souls. I told you that. He's not interested in building a wall. He's not interested in all this other stuff going on that we get so worked up about. It said there's joy in heaven, one soul that repenteth. That's what I'm looking for. And there's the penetration, there's the persuasion, there's the personalization of God. They said the Lord King's heart is in the hand of the Lord. God is involved in the affairs of man. Turn over to Deuteronomy chapter 11. Deuteronomy chapter 11. You know what Psalm 9:17 says? Verse 16, it said, the Lord is known by the judgment which he executeth. Psalm 9:16, the wicked is snared in the work of his hands. And it said, the wicked shall be turned into hell in all the nations that forget God. See what I'm trying to say? I'm trying to tell you that God is involved in the affairs of this country. Look over there, Deuteronomy chapter 11. Deuteronomy, not only for the good, but for the bad. And folks were sitting on the bad. God can be a blessing to a country, and God can be a curse. Depends on what you do with his son in this book. Look at Deuteronomy chapter 11, verse 30, 20, Deuteronomy 11, 26. Here he is. Boy, Deuteronomy is a great book. That's where God lowers the boom on Israel, by the way. That's where God lays it out, lays it flat out here, said, okay, here's what you boys better do. And if you do this, I'll bless you. If you don't do this, beware. Look at Deuteronomy chapter 11, verse 26. The Lord says, behold, I set before you this day a blessing and a curse. A blessing if you obey the commandments of the Lord your God, which I command you this day, and a curse if you deny the commandments of the Lord your God, but turn aside out of the way which I command you this day. Deuteronomy 4:7, for what nation is there so great which hath God so nigh to them, the Lord our God? What nation is so great, America? And yet God said to Israel, he said, listen, if you obey me, there's a blessing. If you disobey, there's a curse. There's a personalism of God. I want to tell you, the Lord's in this thing. William Grady wrote a great book. It's called What God Hath Wrought. I've gave you some of it before. 600 pages of the history of America showing how God brought this nation. And he wrote a follow-up. It's called How Satan Turned America Against God. And he has. Benjamin Franklin, who probably wasn't even a Christian, by the way, in Philadelphia, Constitutional Convention in 1787 said this. There's the personalization of the Lord. I'm going to read this to you just a little bit here. He said this. In this situation of this assembly, groping as it were in the dark to find political truth and scarce able to distinguish it when presented to us, how has it happened? America's having problems. Sir, that we have not hitherto once thought of humbly applying to the Father of lights to illuminate our understanding, talking about the Lord. In the beginning of the contest with Great Britain, when we were sensible of danger, we had daily prayer in this room for divine protection. Our prayers, sir, were heard, and they were graciously answered. All of us who were engaged in the struggle must have observed frequent instances of superintending providence in our favor. He's saying we were praying and God was all over the place. And he was. I gave you stuff. He goes on to say, that kind of providence, we owe this happy opportunity of consulting in peace on the means of establishing our future national facility. And have we now forgotten that powerful friend, talking about the Lord? Or do we imagine that we no longer need his assistance? I have lived, sir, for a long time. And the longer I live, the more convincing proofs I see of this truth that God governs in the affairs of men. And if a sparrow cannot fall to the ground without his notice, is it probable that an empire cannot rise without his aid? We have been assured, sir, in sacred writings, that except the Lord build the house, they labor in vain that build it. I firmly believe this. And I also believe that without this concurring aid, we shall succeed in this political building no better than the builders of Babel. We shall be divided by our little, partial, social, local interests. Our projects will be confounded, and ourselves will become a reproach and a byword down the future. And what is worse, mankind may hereafter, from unfortunate incident, despair of establishing governments by human wisdom and leave it to chance, war, and conquest. I therefore beg you, leave to the move that henceforth prayers imploring the assistance of heaven and its blessings of our deliberations be held in this assembly every morning before we proceed to business, and that one or more of the clergy of this city be requested to come and pray. And they do it every day since then. You know what he said? Sirs, I've lived a long time and I've seen a lot of things. And he said, I believe this truth that God governs in the affairs of man. There's the personalization of the Lord. Not only that, I could give you a lot more. There's the personalization of the Lord. Just one other thing. I'm going to close real quick with this. Just kind of throw this in here. We gave the providence. God's in control. Gave you the politics of the Lord. God's involved in this. God's not outside this stuff. Vote. Sit back and let God be God. Quit worrying about this junk. You can't do anything. You don't worry about something. Worry about people going to hell. That's something to worry about. Amen. That's something to get hold of God about. You're not going to change Donald Trump and Congress and Obamacare. You might as well just go with the flow and deal with it when it happens and make it work and pray and ask God to clean up the mess when you hit it. That's all you can do. And we looked at the penetration, looked at the persuasion, looked at the personalization. One more thing on the offset of that. You know what it is? That's the permissiveness of God. You know, there's the providence of God, and the heart of the king's heart is in the hand of the Lord, and rivers of water, he turneth the whithersoever he will. But you know what God does? He gives man a free will, and he lets him run, and he allows things to happen, and eventually man will run the thing and run it, and God will step in. Normally is what happens. We keep messing it up. He cleans it up. But I think we're at the end of the road, and there's the permissiveness of God. You say, how do you equate the two, the providence of God? Because God gives us a free will to choose what we want to do. He gives nations a free will. He gave Israel a free will. He said, choose you this day whom you'll serve. And they served the wrong one. And you know what happened. Same way with this country. Our country is founded on the Word of God, man. Founded on people that want to worship God. And this country is just shut, throwing the Word of God out, bringing perverse and sodomized and destroyed Christianity. And you know what? The worst enemy of America is God's God. I've told you that. It's not Islam. It's the God of that Bible is the one you better worry about. He's the one that holds the cards. And there's a permissiveness of God. God allows nations to take the course. He'll step in. It's the same way with an individual. Bible says over there in the book of Peter, it said the Lord is not long suffering. The Lord is not Lord. It said, where's the Lord? Where's his promise? And the Bible says over there, the Lord is not slack concerning his promise, but is long suffering toward us. What he said. He wants to come back. Say, where's the promise of his coming? And it said, the Lord is not slack concerning his promise, but long-suffering toward us, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. But you know what they do? They perish. The Bible says in the book of Matthew, it says, wide is the gate and broad is the way that leadeth to destruction, and many, many, there be go which they're at. But it says, straight is the way and narrow is the gate that leadeth to life, and few there be that find it. Most people will die and go to hell. You say, why? God gave you a free will. He gave you a free will. Whosoever will, let him come. God gave it to you to make the choice. God gave it to nations to make the choice. You see, the providence of God doesn't cancel out the permissiveness of God. But God's there. God knows the future. God knows the prophecy. God knows what's going on. He can predict it. He can write the last chapter of that book. You know what God will do? He'll let you do what you want to do. You'll pay the price. Be not deceived. God is not mocked, he said. For whatsoever man soweth, that shall he reap. He that soweth of the flesh shall of the flesh reap destruction. You know what? As a child of God, God will allow you to do what you want to do. If you want to waste this life, don't spend any time in the Bible, and don't tell people about God, and hit heaven with nothing to show up there, and hit the judgment seat of Christ, and everything you got burn up, he'll let you do it. He'll let you do it. You know what he'll let you do? He'll let you serve him and empower him too. God gave you a free will. There's a permissiveness of God this morning. I'm reminded of a great illustration I've given you here before, talking about these things and about the world and all everything going on. Listen, get your eyes off that junk. This world, this 24 cable, all this cable TV. Listen, if you can't control that, take that TV and throw it out in the pond. Take your TV and take your remote and say, don't ever go to that channel again. Quit watching that junk. All that junk does make you anemic. I mean, if you got that telephone, I saw a thing this week. They were saying, all the social media and all the news stuff, they said, I saw it on TV, it said, this is the most stressed and depressed generation ever, and they said it's because all the cable news and all the fake book and all this stuff we watch 24/7. Turn it off. Get in the book. Get in the book. Oh, Richard, I'm just so worried about it. Let God handle it. He's doing a pretty good job. I'm reminded of old Billy Graham back in his days when he was something else for God. If you never watched, get on the internet or some of those old places where old Billy Graham used to preach in the 50s and 60s, that was a man of God. Boy, he let her rip. Son, he was a real deal back then. He's an old tall, lanky country boy, and that old country boy could preach. Of course, then he got in Hollywood and Hollywood and got rubbing elbows with all the stars, you know. all that. Back in the 60s, they had that Cuban Missile Crisis. Y'all remember that? All the Cubans had those missiles pointed toward us, and we had them pointed back, Brother Ben. And they were, this is the closest they've ever been, nuclear war in the world. They were that close to pushing the button, Brother Lonzo. Kennedy was. And they called in all the Congress, and they called in some preachers and Christians and clergy to pray. I mean, that was a big deal. They were flipping out. And they called them in. Billy Graham was one of them. He was, you know, coming up that time, evangelist. And they were all over there flipping out. They were just about to have a heart attack. Man, we was about to destroy the world. And they looked over there, and old Billy Graham was sitting over there reading his Bible. Not a care in the world. And one of them congressmen ran over to him and said, "Man, what are you doing? Why aren't you praying? Don't you know what's going on? Don't you know how bad it is?" And Billy Graham just looked at him and said, "I'm not worried." He said, "I've read the last chapter. I know how it's going to end." You see, I've read the last chapter. I know how this thing's going to end. There's a new heaven and a new earth. First heaven and the first earth passed away, and there will be no more sea. And I, John, saw a holy city, New Jerusalem, coming from God down from heaven as a bride adorned for a husband. And it said, and I heard a great voice, and it said, God shall tabernacle with men. Isn't that going to be something? Walking around with God. It said, He'll be their God, and they'll be His people. He'll be with them and dwell with them, and they with Him. Revelation 21. And it goes on, next verse 4, it said, He'll wipe away all tears from their eyes. Isn't that going to be sweet? And it said, there'll be no more death, nor sorrow, nor crying, and there'll be no more pain, it said, for the former things are passed away. And it said, He that sat on the Lamb, that sat on the throne, said, Behold, I make all things new. And He goes on to say, right, because these sayings are faithful and they're true. See, get your eyes off that junk. Let God be God, amen. Let's bow our heads for prayer. Dear Lord, we thank You, Lord, for being so good to us. Thank You, Lord, that You're in charge, Lord. Thank You, Lord, we don't have to worry about these things, God. Help us not to worry about them. Help us to keep our eyes upon You and in the Word of God. And Lord, off all these things, Lord, that just get us all twisted, Lord, and confused, Lord, and get our minds off Thee and worry about things, Lord. And You told us, let your heart be not troubled. You believe in God, believe also in Me. My Father's house are many mansions. You go on, Lord, told us You got a place for us, Lord. Quit worrying about all this junk down here, Lord. Help us, Lord, to keep our eyes upon You. Help us to keep our eyes and our noses and our eyes in this book, Father. Help us to feed on this book, Lord. And You said, help us desire it. You said, blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of ungodly, nor sitteth in the seat of the scorners, or walketh with useless, Lord. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and doth he meditate day and night, Lord. Help us to stay in this old book, God. Keep our eyes off these things, Lord, that just drag us down. Keep us to keep our eyes looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. Lord, knowing one day we'll be with You. Knowing one day this thing will be over down here, Lord. All our chances to serve You. All our chances, Lord, for doing something for You and trying to get these people out of hell, making a difference, God. It'll be gone one day, very soon, Lord. This life's short. Lord, I just pray Your blessing upon the church and upon the message, God, and upon the Word of God tonight, Lord, and help us, God, when we leave this building, Lord, not to leave this message, or, Lord, not to leave our testimony. Help us to take these tracts and these things, God, and be a witness to You wherever we might go. We ask it in Jesus' wonderful name. Amen. Amen.